Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from Fanball.com, here's the host for Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchian.
It is Fantasy Football Weekly, and I am Paul Charchian. My co-host today is Matt Harrison at Explosive Output.
Hey, Charch.
We're going to explode all over the playoffs, so what we're going to do.
Excuse me?
Yes. Very excited to break down the four playoff games, fantasy style. You know, one of the great things that's really changed over the years, Matt, is how many people are playing playoff fantasy football, but not just like redrafting and then doing the same old,
yeah.
You know. Mostly, I think people are playing in pools now.
Yeah.
You run a pool with 100 people in it.
Yeah, it's ours is getting really big. It's kind of fun. Somebody's going to win like $900 or $1,000.
Yeah. So No. The IRS limit of $699, I believe, is the...
Well,
there's
all donations to Fantasy Cares involved, so that's the important part.
That's all that matters. Yep. We're going to break down the game's fantasy style, as I mentioned, from this weekend. You know, we've got some of our own leans here. I've got two upsets happening this weekend.
I've got one.
All right.
I think the second one I'm sadly not going to get. So.
All right, we'll find out. Right. Yeah, we'd like to get one in for those of us in the Minnesota listening area, but that's the least likely of the upsets to happen by a mile.
Well, they might cover.
They might cover. Let's begin with the Saturday morning. The Saturday. It's actually mid afternoon.
Yeah.
Game, and that is Buffalo taking on Houston. I've got this as an upset. Tell me, let's start it with the passing game in Josh Allen, which I think is fascinating. He's scored a touchdown in every game this year.
Yeah, he's the third highest priced quarterback on Fanball at 7,400. I have him as a B grade in this game. He's had a down month, basically, due to facing some crazy good defenses all in a row. Denver, Dallas, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, New England from week 12 to week 16. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were advising people, it's time to sabotage drop Josh Allen going into your playoff run. And that was the right thing to do. I happened to sabotage drop him in one of my leagues. And but now he gets the Texans. And the Texans have allowed the fourth most passing yards and the seventh most quarterback rushing yards on the season. Mm. And in fact, the Texans have allowed either 300 passing yards or multiple passing scores to each of the last five quarterbacks they've faced outside of week 17. But J.J. Watt is back. He's returning from a pec injury. His legs should still be decent. I'm wondering if there's a little rust there, but that's concerning. As the pass rush will be a little bit better than Houston has had in the last couple of weeks.
From an injury standpoint, though, cornerbacks Bradley Roby and Jonathan Joseph both dealing with hamstring injuries.
Yep.
I think they both play, but we've seen hamstring injuries can go belly up any time.
Yeah, I mean, look at what Adam Thielen had. Came back for a play in that Kansas City game and then sat on the shelf for another couple of months. So,
that's right.
Let's stay in the passing game. John Brown. He's another guy who had just bad, brutal matchups for a long time. I'm giving him a B grade, and he's 6,500 on Fanball because the Texans hate facing wide receivers named Brown, as A.J. Brown has torched them for over 100 yards and a score twice in the last 3 weeks. In that other week, Breshad Perriman from the perimeter went over 100 yards, too, and John Brown, is top 10 in the league at 20-plus yard completions. The Texans are bottom 10 defensively in that category, so it's a big play kind of a game.
It is. This is Houston has struggled with big plays. John Brown, known for the deep speed. Josh Allen, known for the big arm.
Two corners with hamstring injuries.
Yeah, come right. It feels like...
Might not want to get the long stride going.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is a stackable hookup right there.
You know what else is a stackable hookup? Cole Beasley, who also gets a B grade. He's only 5,700 on Fanball. He leads the team in red zone targets, and he runs most of his routes from the slot. So he matches up with Vernon Hargraves III.
Third.
Who was cut by the Bucs earlier in the year and has given up 5 touchdowns in his coverage this season. And 4 weeks ago, Julian Edelman just torched him for 6 for 106 and a score. Finally, Dawson Knox in the passing game. Of the Saturday tight ends, I was looking at the Saturday slate on Fanball.
Not good.
there's no tight ends playing. Jonnu Smith is the highest priced tight end, but Dawson Knox is my favorite. He's at 3,500 over the last 4 weeks. Knox is third on the team in targets, averaging just about four per game. The problem is he's only had eight receptions since week 12, but Houston is a bottom 10 defense as far as tight end receiving yards this year, so Knox is kind of in play.
Can I tell you how much I love Devin Singletary in this matchup?
You can.
Houston, just, you know, Derrick Henry just put up 211 yards on him, so I mean, there's that, but also, receiving runners have killed the Texans. Mm-hmm. They rank dead last in receiving touchdowns allowed to running backs.
Yeah.
Second to last in yards allowed to running backs through the air. This is, and Devin Singletary's a good, not great. He's not like LaDainian Tomlinson.
You missed a league high eight receiving touchdowns they've given up.
Well, no, I said that. They're dead last in receiving touchdowns allowed.
Oh,
that's
okay.
The eight. That is the eight. This is, I love Devin Singletary for fantasy purposes in this matchup.
So the issue is Singletary hasn't been totally utilized in the passing game yet. Mm-hmm. He did see eight targets and six receptions against the Ravens a few weeks back, but he's normally getting like three targets a game and one catch. And that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But the Texans have allowed almost 5 yards per carry to opposing backs over the last 2 months. Mm-hmm. And he had 96% of the snaps against the Pats in that week 16 game that actually mattered. Frank Gore is an afterthought. I gave Devin Singletary an A grade. He's one of my favorite running backs this week. He's the fourth highest priced one on Fanball.
Yeah, I like him a lot as well. If you flip over to the Houston passing game, what I find fascinating is just the wide receiver situation for Houston is not good. You got Will Fuller with the groin injury, Kenny Stills with a knee injury. They're question marks for this game. And then if you look at DeAndre Hopkins, he's going to get Tre'Davious White all game.
Mm-hmm.
So where does that leave the passing game?
I gave Hopkins only a C grade in this.
All and right. That's just we see it the same
just
way.
Just out of respect, 8,000, second highest wide receiver on Fanball behind, of course, Michael Thomas. Mm-hmm. Get this. Hopkins is completing his seventh season in the league. The Texans have made the playoffs in four of those seasons.
Yeah.
This is DeAndre Hopkins' second playoff game.
Wow.
His first one was last year against the Colts, where he had five catches for 37 yards. He was dinged up at the end of the year and all those years. Here are the wide receivers that have scored against the Bills in the first 16 weeks of the season. We're not counting week 17.
Yeah,
they weren't playing.
Yeah. All right.
TJ Jones in week 2.
Okay.
Devontae Parker in week 7. And that was when Preston Williams was still the top wide receiver there.
Okay.
Jarvis Landry and Rashard Higgins in week 10.
Okay, second and third receivers.
Yep. Ventel Bryant in week 13. Do you know who he plays for?
Nope.
Dallas.
Okay.
So like the fourth wide receiver there.
All right.
And Willie Snead in week 14. White wasn't covering any of those guys. That's only six touchdowns allowed to wide receivers on the season.
Crazy.
I don't think I'm going to put Hopkins in any of my DFS lineups.
Too expensive.
This week. It's too expensive.
Yeah. Even if he was much less expensive, it would be hard. It would be hard to validate a DeAndre Hopkins angle.
Here's the interesting thing: if somehow Kenny Stills doesn't go, and somehow, and it looks like Will Fuller's not going to go. What about Kiki Cutie at only 3,400? All those second wide receivers have scored?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the only angle here. But it's pretty bad on the Texan side. I only gave Deshaun Watson a C grade as well. I just don't like any of it. Bills, as we know, top three pass defense. They're also one of the best in the league at defending against running quarterbacks. They held Lamar Jackson to only 11 carries for only 40 yards, which is pretty good against Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Dak Wentz and Mariota were held in check, and the only two quarterbacks to score on the ground against them this year were Andy Dalton and Ryan Fitzpatrick, so they were surprise attacks.
Right. Those really were.
And when Will Fuller's out, Deshaun Watson's numbers really suffer. And then finally, the running game. Ugh. I gave both Hyde and Duke Johnson C grades. Mm-hmm. Hyde's still the top runner, even though Duke Johnson has looked like the better player for the last handful of weeks. Over Hyde's last four full games, he's scored twice. That's good. But he's been held under 2 yards per carry in two of those games, including a 10-for-17 clunker against a similarly built defense in New England. Now, I bring that up because Houston won that game against New England. And what did they do in that game? They fed the ball to Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson had 9 rushing attempts, which was his season high. And he also had 5 receptions in that game. So he had 14 touches to Hyde's 11. He had 100 combo yards and a score in that game. So if they're going to use one of these running backs and they're going to be successful, I like Duke Johnson, who's $1,200 cheaper on Fanball over Carlos Hyde.
I'll note, though, Buffalo's only given up one running back receiving touchdown since week three. So, you know, they're not, I don't know that you get a touchdown out of Duke Johnson.
I don't know if you do either.
But he might chip in enough PPR help that's the better way to go.
I did have Darren Fells on my list, but he's only scored one touchdown in the last 7 weeks, and you're not playing him.
No, I don't think so either. Let's go to the Vikings taking on the Saints.
Oh, gosh, I'm really interested in this one.
Oh, yeah. Well, this won't take long.
It's home.
There is there's an opportunity to take Kirk Cousins here. It doesn't, you know, this is a game which nobody feels like Kirk Cousins is going to step up and play well in, because traditionally both Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins have not played well in big games. And obviously this is for, you know, season's over if this doesn't go well. But Kirk threw for 360 yards last time these teams met and two touchdowns last year. And this season, the way that you've been able to beat the Saints is through the air. They've given up multiple passing touchdowns in 6 of 7 games. In recent weeks, they've given up 3 or 4 touchdowns to Jimmy Garoppolo, Ryan Tannehill, and Kyle Allen since benched. So I think there's an opportunity for Kirk to put up a surprising game. Now,
and it could be in catch-up mode. If we're just looking at this from fantasy perspective, The Vikings could be down by 2 or 3 scores early.
Yeah, that's true. It could be garbage time.
Could be all garbage time for Cousins.
Yeah, you may be right about that. And abandoning the run is a viable option for the Vikings anyway, because the Saints' run defense is so good. Stephon Diggs likely draws shadow coverage on the outside from Marshawn Lattimore. If he lines up in the slot, Diggs does, then it'll probably be Thielen who gets Lattimore, because nobody bothers to double cover Laquon Treadwell or shadow Laquon Treadwell. So Laquon Treadwell,
Baba Walter.
So I'm nervous about Diggs. If Diggs is going to get a lot of Marshawn Lattimore, it's game over. Lattimore giving up an average of 2 catches for 22 yards since week 3.
You know, Diggs has the peacock on Lattimore, though. And you remember the last time they met in the playoffs?
Something good happened. By the way, if Kirk gets this win, I can tell you the Viking fans.
Oh, my God.
The Viking fans are going to be like, oh, yeah, big deal. Case Keenum got a win against the Saints in the playoffs, too. That's what they're going to say. Adam Thielen gets more work out of the slot. That hopefully will allow him to avoid Lattimore and then get to what he was doing through in weeks 1 through 6 before the injury, when he was averaging almost a touchdown per game. Since week 6, he's caught 4 passes.
Yeah.
So the worry for me is if they need to feed him because Lattimore's taking Diggs out, I just hope he's up for it. I hope they target him 9-10 times in this game.
How many times?
No, wait, it's the duck. Hold on.
Thielen needs revenge.
The revenge duck showed up. Thielen does not need revenge, because in the last game, last year's game against the Saints, Thielen had over 100 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saints somewhat susceptible to tight ends. Since week 8, they've allowed sizable games to Charles Clay, and Cameron Brait, and Jaden Graham, and George Kittle, and Jonnu Smith. By and large, those are not awesome tight ends. So maybe Kyle Rudolph gets back to where he was a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
For Dalvin Cook, it's a really tough game. He says he's full strength, which is great. He has not had a run of more than 9 yards since November 10th. He has failed to top 3.7 yards per carry in any game in the second half of the season. So the injuries have really affected him. At one point, he was in the MVP conversation. Not anymore. This is a Saints team that's good against the screen pass, and Cook has been viable as a screen pass guy of late, and that may not help. He may not be helpful that way either. And the Saints are so good as a run defense, giving up just 3.6 yards per carry. They haven't allowed a 100-yard runner since week 11 of 2017.
That's a while.
That's a long time. That's
2.5 years.
Yes. So I don't like Dalvin Cook. What does he cost on FanBall?
Oh, let me pull that up right here. He is.
It's already too much.
It's already too much. Why am I looking up weird things? I'm still looking up Kirk Cousins on this. Dalvin Cook, 7,500 on FanBall. That is too much.
I think you avoid the Viking runners.
He's
here.
The third highest running back in the week. So
yeah, that's he's out. Let's flip it over to the Saints. Vikings shut down Drew Brees in last year's meeting, holding him to 120 yards. 120 yards, his lowest output in almost 200 games.
Not explosive.
Last time they met. That said, he's had other games against the Vikings that have been very good. Average passing game against Minnesota since week 8 is 250 yards and one touchdown. Michael Thomas, of course, is going to get fed plenty in this game.
How many targets does Michael Thomas get if you're going to set an over-under?
I think it actually moves down, and I'll tell you why. Vikings are without their number three and number four cornerbacks, Mike Hughes, and in all probability, Mackenzie Alexander not in. I think that's going to allow them to go to their second and third receivers more often, Ted Ginn, Traquan Smith, more often than they would have had the Vikings secondary been healthy. So not that Hughes has been good. He's been bad. But it's still, you know, one less quasi-starter for the Vikings.
Yeah.
So there's some concern there. But I still think, you know, you figure Hughes is going to be targeted at least 10 to 12 times. And he does in every game.
By the way, Michael Thomas, the most expensive player on the slate at $9,400.
I think there's a real case to be made for Michael Thomas to be the most valuable fantasy player throughout the playoffs.
Yeah,
Saints. If the Saints are likely to be favorites every step of the way to the Super Bowl, I believe they'll be favored. They already are favorites this week. Next week, they'll travel to Green Bay and they'll be favored. The week after that, presumably San Francisco in San Francisco, maybe favored or pick them, or maybe, you know, underdogs by a couple.
It'll be close. It was a 2-point game when they met just a few weeks ago.
Right. So that'll be one worth watching. Michael Thomas is an obvious fine start here. If I were giving letter grades, which I didn't do, because I'm tired of letter grades, so I just didn't do it.
Maybe you want to try a plus or a minus.
Maybe that freshen it up with a plus or a minus.
What if you just gave a plus or a minus grade? No letters.
He's a plus. Jared Cook is a plus, emerging as a major threat since week 11. He's averaging 21 yards per catch.
Wow.
21 per catch.
Where'd
and one touchdown from? Per game. That's crazy.
It's like last year's Jared Cook.
It is. It's all of a sudden taken off since week 11. He's a fine start here. Pro Football Focus ranks the Saints number two in pass blocking, so I think there's going to be plenty of time here against a good Vikings pass rush. As for the running game, I like Alvin Kamara. It's been a bad season, but he looked better last week. They're averaging almost five yards per carry last week. Mostly Minnesota's contained pass catching backs this year, but only mostly. I still like Kamara. If I were to give him a letter grade, it'd be a B grade. And the Vikings have been suffering against runners since their week 12 bye. They're giving up almost 5 yards per carry, which is not Viking-like at all. So Kamara, to me, is a good start.
And it's nice that Kamara seems to be heating up from a scoring standpoint. 4 of his 6 touchdowns on the year in the last 2 weeks.
That's right. That helps.
And this was a guy who, back when Mark Ingram was there too, it was he'd get 10 to 15 touches a game, but he'd score on 3 or 4 of them.
That's right.
So yeah. It's nice to see that working again.
Coming back. If Eric Kendricks, the Vikings middle linebacker, can't play, we expect him to go. But if he can't go, you could upgrade Kamara. And even I think at that point, I'd start looking at Latavius Murray.
Yeah.
He might grind out a potential lopsided victory for the Saints.
Could be.
Let's go to Buffalo taking on Houston in just a minute.
Latavius first, could get a revenge duck.
That's possible. We might have a little. Do I have?
There it is.
A little revenge duck for Latavius Murray. Let's talk about the other two games in just a moment. All right, we're back. Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian. My co-host is Matt Harrison. At Explosive Output for you. On Twitter, I am at Paul Charchian. You'll have to figure out the spelling yourself. Buffalo takes on Houston. This is my other upset of the day. I believe Buffalo is the better team in many ways. Oh, we talked Buffalo-Houston already. Sorry.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Let's go Tennessee and New England.
That's my other upset of the day is Tennessee at New England. Only 3 quarterbacks have won at Gillette Stadium in the last 3 years. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. And people say the Patriots never lose at home in a critical game. Except for last week, when they lost to Miami at home in a critical game that would have given them a bye. So I don't want to hear this mumbo jumbo about how they can't possibly be beaten at home in Gillette.
There's definite mumbo jumbo here. Ryan Tannehill knows the Patriots. Mm-hmm. This is his 12th time he's faced Bill Belichick. He was 4-7 in his previous 11 games. So he's beaten the Patriots 4 times. That's fun. But the problem is the number two. The Patriots have given up 2 or more passing touchdowns in a game only 2 times this year.
Wow.
That's not very good for Ryan Tannehill's prospects. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, Stew Beard himself, was the only quarterback to top 300 yards against the Patriots this season. That was last week, basically on the final drive of the game. So Tannehill, I gave a C grade to. He's 6,900 on Fanball. I'm probably avoiding him. I'm also avoiding his top wide receiver, A.J. Brown. I gave him a a respect C grade. 7,300 on Fanball. Should see Stephen Gilmore shadow coverage all day. And basically no one did anything against Gilmore all year, except for Devontae Parker last week.
That's
eight
right.
8 for 137. Mm-hmm. Did the Patriots want to play an extra game this? Who knows? That's always the thing. Corey Davis on the bench, only topped 60 yards twice this season. However, Tajay Sharp.
Wow.
C grade. Here's your take a chance on me. Mm-hmm. 3,900. He's playing from the slot, and New England has shown a weakness to slot wide receivers this year. Cole Beasley, Golden Tate, Randall Cobb, and Juju Smith-Schuster all topped 75 yards. Mm-hmm. Beasley did that twice. Mm-hmm. So Tajay Sharp, 3,900. If you run out of money on Fanball, that's a guy I think you
I
can
like
put
it.
In
that's
your
deep.
Lineup.
Now, Jonnu Smith interests me more because half the passing touchdown New England has allowed has gone to tight ends.
The problem is Michael Pruitt is vulturing touchdown grabs from him, and Anthony Firkser has had almost as many targets as Jonnu Smith over the last 3 weeks.
I don't know. I'm not buying it. I think Jonnu's
good. You know what?
Good.
I'm not buying Jonnu Smith. No, he's not. He's just a guy. I know that you put down
like
in your
him.
Notes that Jonnu Smith, better than I thought.
It. Yes, he is. He's better than I thought. More athletic than I thought. Faster.
Only two tight ends have topped 45 yards against the Pats since week 5, and you're totally reliant on a score if you want to mm-hmm. play him. All of the 6 tight ends touchdowns allowed by the Patriots happened in week 8 or later, so that's positive. So okay. I guess you got that going. Finally, on the Titans side, Derrick Henry, I'm giving an A grade to.
Heck yeah.
I think if they're going to win this game, it's on the back of the big dog. The Patriots have been better against the run as of late, only allowing 3.5 yards per carry over the last 5 games. However, they've bent to the will of the bell cow backs. Running backs who have 15 rushing attempts or more in a game have had yardage totals of 109, 131, 115, 70, 86, 136, and 46. So there's one dud in there, and that was Devin Singletary. But there's yardage to be had. The problem is the Pats have only allowed one rushing touchdown to an opposing back all year, and that was Gus Edwards, and one receiving touchdown to a running back all year. That was Duke Johnson.
It's funny how you diced up that stat, because I have almost the exact same stat that I worked my same way. Running back since week 4, running backs with 17 or more carries are averaging 5.5 yards per carry.
There we go.
And an average game of 116 rushing yards.
This game
very
is
very similar to how you did it.
All Derrick Henry.
It's all Derrick Henry.
He's going to get 25 touches in this game.
He got 32 last week. Yeah, so he's going to get 25 and be 7 fewer than the rushes Derrick Henry got last week. What a monster.
He's a beast. I do still see the Patriots winning this game, however. And one of the reasons why is I kind of like the running game matchup for the Patriots in this one. And your favorite player,
Sony Walkman.
Pedestrian Sony Michel, the Walkman himself, who's 5,600 on Fanball. I'm giving him a B grade. He's averaged 20 touches per game over the last 3 games. And you need to remember how studly he was in the playoffs last year. 6 touchdowns in 3 games. Mm-hmm. They ramped him up at the end of the season and just handed him the ball like crazy in the playoffs. He had 29 carries in one of those games. The Titans have allowed 8 rushing touchdowns to opposing backs over the last 6 games. During that span, they did not allow one receiving touchdown to a back. So that kind of downgrades James White, who I like better in reality. Mm-hmm. But the Titans are one of 4 teams in the NFL to allow over 100 receptions to the running backs through the air. So James White's getting a B, too. They've held the yardage down, but they've given up a lot of receptions. And on Fanball and PPR, where James White's 6,100, it could be a high-volume, low-yardage game for White. I don't look at him getting a lot of touchdowns in this, but if you're playing like a 50-50 and you just need solid scoring, I think James White's in a good spot.
Only Christian McCaffrey and Carlos Hyde hit 100 rushing yards against the Titans all year. They needed 24 and 26 carries to get there.
Yeah.
So, and for them, there's barely even 4 yards per carry.
I'm looking at Michelle from simply the scoring aspect of it.
I think you need it.
You need a touchdown or 2 on the ground.
You do. And you need the ball to end up at like the 2-yard line before I'm going to trust Sony Michel to get the ball in the end zone.
You might be right. I may be crazy.
All right.
But I just might be the lunatic you're looking for, because I'm giving Tom Brady a B grade.
Yeah.
He's 6,600 on Fanball, which makes him the cheapest starting quarterback on Fanball this week. Mm-hmm. The Titans are ranking near last in the league in quarterback hit rate. And that means it'll be a clean Tom Brady, who should have no trouble carving up the Titans. If you eliminate week 17 for Tennessee, they've allowed multiple scores to three straight quarterbacks and have allowed 10 multi-score games on the season. Brady only did that in half of his games this season, but this is playoff Brady. Weird things happen. Gillette, you know, all that stuff.
He ain't got it.
He might not, but Julian Edelman, I'm giving a B grade to as well. He's only 6,800 on Fanball. Would be an A if it weren't for knee and shoulder injuries. He faces former teammate Logan Ryan in the slot for most of the game. Ryan has allowed the most touchdowns in the league in slot coverage this year, according to Pro Football Focus. If Brady is passing, he's trusting Edelman. That's why I'm not giving Mohamed Sanu or N'Keal Harry, who are 45 and 4,900 respectively, at all. They're both on the bench. Harry isn't top 30 yards in any game in his career. Sanu has been awful, but season 80% snap rate. I'm just avoiding both due to their consistency or lack thereof.
I'll mention Tennessee gets cornerback Adoree Jackson back. He's their best healthy cornerback who's missed the better part of the last month. He's an outside guy, though. And so I think this just really affects more of the outside receivers like Harry and Mohamed Sanu, who's playing incorrectly outside. That was a bad trade for the Patriots.
Yeah.
By the way, the one, you know, they already had a slot receiver. Why did they trade for Mohamed Sanu, who's only ever good as a slot receiver?
If they would have traded for Emmanuel Sanders, how different would that team
they'd have been
look
way
right
better
now?
Off. Yeah. Another guy. Yeah. He can play. At least he can play both.
Yeah.
Let's go to Seattle taking on Philadelphia. Seattle is the underdog, by the way, as a non-fantasy note, for the sixth straight playoff game.
Which is weird that they're an underdog in this game.
Yeah. They're an underdog at home.
I like them quite a bit.
They're 4-1. In the five games in which they've been an underdog, this will be their sixth game. They're 4-1. So, you know, apparently, maybe it's motivation. Maybe we just need to give them more respect and Doug Peterson more respect. These teams faced each other in week 12 in Seattle, and it was 17-9 in a grinded out, ugly game. Both teams have disaster level injury issues. Let's begin with the Seattle problem, and that's their running game. Everybody thinks Marshawn Lynch is back, so everything's fixed. Yeah, but the problem is, Marshawn Lynch has been good in 3 years, and even last week, with the 12th man erupting every time he just touched the ball, he averaged 2.8 yards per carry.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Seattle's offense people just think it's fixed because they put a name guy and a beloved figure in it running back.
Well, they got Robert Turbin back. Good old Dick
Robert
Turbin.
Maybe that's the answer. Dick Turbin. Frankly, he might be better. I don't know. So Lynch is not necessarily the answer here. And I don't love him. By the way, Travis Homer is their starter, averaging 6 yards per carry on his career.
I think Travis Homer is the guy who they are riding in the playoffs
now,
this year.
So let's talk Fanball dollars on this, because I got to believe that Marshawn Lynch is going to be more expensive than Travis Homer.
You are correct. Lynch is 5,500. Homer is 5,300.
There we go.
They're both pretty cheap as far as running backs go.
Yep. I would take Travis Homer.
But it's a tough matchup.
It's a bad matchup. Yeah. So let's talk about the Eagles' run defense. They're very good. Seeing the third fewest total rushes overall, they're allowing the third fewest rushing yards, and they've allowed the eighth fewest rushing yards per attempt. So it's a bad matchup for either one of them. So you can make a case that just says avoid both. Or you could just say, I'm going to hope for a touchdown opportunity. Mm-hmm. That would be Lynch. Lynch has always been built for goal line use. Some people still a little bitter about the Super Bowl. Daryl Bevel, Marshawn Lynch, built for goal line use. Let's go to the passing game for Seattle. Well, the previous game was a grinded out win for Seattle, with both offenses basically very inconsistent here. Maybe Russell Wilson, who doesn't have a lot of turnovers, is going to be the difference here, and they're just going to try to play it safe and grind out another win. But Wilson hasn't topped 286 yards passing, which is not that high of a milestone these days. Mm-hmm. Wilson hasn't topped 286 yards since week 9, getting really inconsistent results from Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf of late. I think that whole passing game to me sounds very wobbly, but working in their favor, Philadelphia's cornerback situation's a disaster. Ronald Darby went on IR. Sidney Jones has a back injury. Avante Maddox has an abdomen, and Jalen Mills has an ankle.
Yikes.
No bueno.
Yeah.
The degree to which those three will play tells me whether or not you can trust those guys. But right now I've got a B grade on the passing game because I don't think they can run. I don't think they're going to try to run much.
Yeah.
And through sheer volume, I think Wilson gets himself, Tyler Lockett, and DK Metcalf into solid territory.
Yeah, and I think if you're going from a Fanball fantasy perspective for DFS, I think you could just go Russell Wilson alone. As Brian and I call it, we call it the naked quarterback. You go naked Russell Wilson. You don't worry about the receivers and pairing them up, and you just see what you can get out of him, because that entire offense is going to go through Russell Wilson's arm or his feet.
It's very possible. And then, you know, Lockett and DK Metcalf have been alternating, basically, big games, and you don't know which guy might have the bigger game.
Exactly.
So it's been frustrating. And that way you wouldn't have to play the game of which receiver is going to do well. Now, let's go over to the Philadelphia side. From a passing standpoint, Nelson Aguilar doesn't look like he's going to go. Zach Ertz, as of this taping on Friday, has not been cleared to play.
Yeah,
so he's not going to go.
He's going to go.
So that's that. And then Seattle, I think, just schemes to take away Dallas Goedert. And then what? They'll have to lean on Greg Ward to some degree. He's been good, way better than anybody would have expected. He's still a backup caliber wide receiver against a starting Seattle secondary. No opposing quarterback has topped two touchdowns against Seattle all year. No opponent has hit 300 passing yards in seven games.
The problem is Seattle's been brutal against the tight end this year. I mean, they're not on Arizona Cardinals level of futility, but they were one of three teams to give up over 1,000 yards to the tight end position. They gave up the third most tight end receptions on the year. Only six touchdowns, but you got to think, with Wentz having nobody else, he's going to target Dallas.
Yeah, they almost
Goddard
have to, right?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
And Goddard's just unbelievably gigantic.
Yeah.
It's just, you see him out there in the field, he's like, why is that gigantic power forward playing in this game?
Yeah.
So you could still start Goddard. I'm sure he's very expensive. Give me his Fanball number on this. I'm going to guess he's in the 7,000 range.
Ooh,
6,800.
63. A little bit of a discount. He's the second highest priced tight end behind Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz, who's probably not going to play.
He's probably not going to play. So.
All right, there you go. This is the first playoff game, we should mention, for Carson Wentz, which is hard to remember, but he's never played a playoff game before. We've got a bunch of first
time. Didn't he play last year against the Bears? Double doink?
I don't know.
The Eagles won that game.
Yeah, I know, but I think Foles was a quarterback.
No.
Double check
for me. Was he out again? Jeez.
Double check for me, because I heard in passing on some other, some radio or something this week that this is his first playoff game, and I just took that to be right. I suspect that it is. In the meantime, while you're looking at that, let's talk about the running game. It looks like Miles Sanders is going to go here.
No, you're right. This is his first one.
All right, good. It looks like Miles Sanders is going to go, but Jordan Howard's back and he's got fresh legs. I think they're going to unleash Jordan Howard in this game.
What?
Yep, I do. so you have a gimpy Miles Sanders on an ankle sprain or the fresh legs of Jordan Howard.
Let's be honest here. Has Jordan Howard ever had fresh legs?
Well, yeah.
Man.
Remember what he did to the Packers this year? Like week four? He had a 3-touchdown game against the Packers? That was awesome.
The problem is Miles Sanders has been good.
I know.
Over the bulk of the season.
Well, he's been good lately. The last month of the season, he's been great with Howard out.
Yep.
But Howard comes back. So Boston
Scott. Muddy the waters for both of them?
It does. And Boston Scott's been really good. So, now they all three deserve time. And we know that Doug Peterson, at his core, wants to have a relatively even rotation of backs. Give us the prices on those three. Because I want the cheap guy, in all probability.
Yeah. Hold on. I just moved it down. Here we go.
Jordan Howard, Boston Scott, Miles Sanders.
Boston Scott, he's cheap. Boston Scott is $5,900. Miles Sanders is $6,700. But here's your discount play, Jordan Howard at $4,800.
Bang. Jordan Howard, averaging a healthy 4.5 yards per carry. I think he's going to be the guy who's going to get the most touches out of that group.
That's interesting. I still think it's going to be Sanders getting the most touches. But with Howard coming back and the price tag of Sanders at $6,700, I don't think I will end up with him in many of my lineups this week.
We'll find out.
Yep.
Seattle's been gouged by runners of late. They've allowed 9 rushing touchdowns in the past 5 games. So obviously almost 2 a game.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just talking about rushing touchdowns, Matt, who's most likely to get goal line carries out of that group? Which running back for Philadelphia?
Is Jay Ajayi still on the team?
No, he's been cut.
It's Howard.
It's Howard.
9 rushing touchdowns.
9.
That's a
9 times.
9 times.
It's
It's a revenge touchdown. We're learning a new button bar,
I am learning a new button bar. You'd just be glad I haven't fired off the trombone solo, the 30-second trombone solo.
Just go with it.
I'm not doing it. All right, there we go. Four games broken down fantasy
so
style.
Your predictions for the games
I've got Saints over Vikings. Mm-hmm. I've got Bills in an upset. Mm-hmm. I've got Titans in an upset. And then I've got Seattle over Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia just at some point you just succumb to the just the sheer onslaught of injuries.
Yeah, I'm with you on everything, but I think New England beats Tennessee.
Well, that's extremely plausible. And you know, look, because entire casinos have been built on fools' money like me that have bet against the Patriots throughout the years, and you know, especially at home, Belichick, Brady, right? And you could just, yeah, but here's the thing, Matt. You want some lazy analysis? The laziest possible playoff analysis.
Belichick and Brady at home, duh.
That's lazy. I can't subscribe to that. So, and I'm not going to. And the team that's better, who is the better quarterback right now? Tom Brady or December's offensive player of the year or player of the month, Ryan Tannehill?
This just hurts my feelings saying Ryan Tannehill because I hate Ryan Tannehill.
Why? Who hates Ryan Tannehill?
Me.
Why? What do you got against Ryan Tannehill?
He's never good in Miami. I always hate
him. That's Miami's fault.
I know.
Obviously now, look at whose fault that was.
I think he'll come back to earth again too for the Titans after they sign him to Kirk Cousins-like money. And I think
they're going to franchise tag him.
Well, that's
he'll make even more money than Kirk at that point, but only 1 year, right? Yeah. So you test drive
absolutely
Tannehill for one more season and see what you got.
Yep.
Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. We'll break down the divisional slate of games. Already looking forward to that 1 week from
now. Those games are that's my favorite weekend of the year.
It
by
is.
The way. It's
Man,
so fun.
You remember all our old league safe trips to Vegas? That was over this weekend.
Why aren't we going? Charge, let's go.
We really should go. Jump on a plane. We'll see y'all in Vegas. Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.